Isn't it good to know that God loves us? And if God loves us, that means that we can trust God, right? We can trust God to provide for us, to care for us, and to use us to care for others. Because when we are given care and given provision, then we can show other people God's love by how we love them, right? So you see how it goes out from us to show others as well. So that's what this cycle of life is all about, and our ministry and all that we do is to continue to show God's love to others and to share the love that God has given us with one another. And sometimes we share material things with other people too, don't we? We help with their physical needs. We help with their emotional needs. And we always help especially with spiritual needs. And that's what God wants for us all to do. How do we know that? Well, the scripture shows us that, of course, right? That's where we're going this morning. And, you know, the disciples were following Jesus, watching everything he did. And he was an example of how we're to live. He was God on earth. And he was showing the disciples what God can do, how God is omnipotent and powerful and healing, and God can do anything, right? We believe that? We trust that implicitly? Okay, good. All right, some of you, beautiful, you're getting there. And we're going to go to John chapter 6, but I want to tell you, in the prior chapter, chapter 5, Jesus heals a paralyzed person. So we see that Jesus is capable of healing people from paralyzation. paralysis. Thank you. I made up a word there. Thank you. You know, I was trying to make up a word. Paralyzation. Yes. Because do we not sometimes get paralyzed in our thinking? Do we not get stuck? Do we not get afraid? In fact, one of the responses to fear, emotionally speaking, psychologically speaking, one of the responses is paralyzing. In other words, we don't do anything. We don't fight and we don't flee, which are the other two responses that our subconscious gives us. We get paralyzed, we get stuck, and we don't act. And we just, there we are, paralyzed. Thus, paralyzation some of you have. But God can heal that, can he? Right? How does God help you with you being paralyzed? By removing the fear. See, when the fear dissipates and disappears and is dispelled, then what happens? You can move, can't you? You can do, can't you? You can believe, can't you? And then you can act in a sound mind, making good decisions. So we see that in chapter 5, Jesus heals a paralyzed person. And then he travels with the disciples in chapter 6 to the very next village. He's going to continue to teach and to preach. And he's going up on the mountainside teaching not only the disciples, but all people that were now following him. You know, when you see God perform miracles, that kind of brings a crowd around, doesn't it? Especially if you're the one that tells your story about how God got rid of your paralyzation, right? When you've been healed of that paralyzation that you had, and God heals you of that, takes away your fear and gives you courage and bravery, and you move forward in your life, suddenly people go, wow, what happened to you? You used to be stuck in the 60s, back in the 50s, in the 80s, or wherever you got stuck. We can get stuck sometimes because of trauma that happens to us. And we sometimes can't move forward with life. But God is a God of moving forward, right? Of course. And we can trust God that God knows what's around the other bend. So we keep on moving forward, right? Yes, because that's what trust does. So let's go to chapter 6, because this is a couple of lessons we're going to learn here today about how sometimes we get stuck in fear, and as a result, we don't even or give ourselves or other people the opportunity to grow and to be helped. So we're going to go to John chapter 6. After this, Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. And a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miracles as he healed the sick. So as Jesus is traveling, he's doing what? Healing the sick. So when Jesus travels with you and travels with us, what happens? He heals us, progressively speaking, of a lot of the things, some of which are physical, some are emotional, some of which are spiritual, right? Constant healing, progress through life is God healing us of a lot of things, correct? Yes? And so we keep following Jesus. Why? Well, we want to follow him because he's a great and awesome leader and he's the shepherd of our life. But also, we continue to need healing, don't we? Because life happens, correct? So as things go on, we continue to be healed and need to be healed, especially of fear. All right. Then Jesus went up into the hills and sat down with the disciples around him. So he's left the people. He's now with the disciples. He's going to continue to teach the disciples because knowing that the disciples are going to keep doing what he's doing later on after he resurrects from the dead, right, and leaves the earth, we know that the disciples are going to follow after him and do what he has done. So he is still in the teaching mode all the time with the disciples. It was nearly time for the annual Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a great crowd of people climbing the hill, looking for him. Imagine that, right? People that need healing, people that need miracles, what do? They'll climb hills to get to Jesus, won't they? Won't you? Oh, you'll climb a mountain to get to him, right? You know, sometimes you know how far it is from the back of the room here to the altar. It's a pretty high climb, isn't it, some days? When we ask you to come to the altar and give your burdens and come to Christ, right? Sometimes it's a long walk, isn't it? But these people, they knew the miracles Jesus had performed for others. They wanted it for themselves. So when you decide that you want it for yourself, getting rid of paralyzation as an example, because some of you get paralyzed in your seat, right? Your brain's moving. God's urging you to come forward to be healed and be prayed over, whatever. And sometimes, you know, the Velcro is just on the bottom of the seat. Am I right? It just won't move, right? You're stuck there. So we're going to heal your paralyzation this morning, I pray. But these folks, they climbed a hill to go see Jesus because they did what? They expected a healing. So if you believe in God's healing power, would you not be willing to move forward and come to Christ? Of course. Of course. Of course. How easy would it be? Turning to Philip, Jesus asks, Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? Now, these people are coming for healing, right? And now Jesus is looking at them. He can sense that they're hungry, right? And he says to Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. So here's what happens with Philip, the great disciple, right? He's being tested by Jesus to see whether or not Philip is willing to feed the people, right? How much does Philip really trust Jesus to provide for feeding the people in a physical way? Well, Philip replies, it would take a small fortune to feed them. He's looking out at the hill. You know, the people, thousands of people are coming up this hill. It's so massive that there's no room for them to come up the hill. They're just, Philip is looking out and going, holy mackerel, Andy, there's no way we could feed these people. It would take a small fortune. Now, what does Philip know about Jesus and his band of disciples? They got no money. They don't have that fortune, right? What is Philip trying to solve the problem with? Money. It's going to take money to buy food, right? And it's going to take a small fortune to feed all of them. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. So he, you know, Andrew's like, okay, I got a solution. We don't have any money. So there's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And they walk up and they say, are you going to eat that? So he takes from the boy the food that he had stored. Thank you, Anthony. A little boy. Where is that little boy? Where is he? I know. I was going to use him for a prop today. Shucks. Anyway, he left it here from last week, evidently. This banana. And here's what Andrew says. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with all this huge crowd? I got 1 banana. How many people are in the room today? Oh, I don't know, 30-something? I got one banana. What good is it? How far is this going to go? Well, if we cut it up really, really small, will we at least get a little tiny piece? Jesus says, tell everyone to sit down. So all of them, the men alone, numbered 5,000, slightly more than here today. A few more thousand. And they sat down on the grassy slope. So imagine this, they're sitting down. So Jesus goes over to the little boy, grabs the banana. And now you have to understand that really what's going on is most of the people there would have brought a snack with them because they've been traveling. And in biblical times, many times they wore tunics and they would wear a sack on them. They would have bread, raisins, and some sardines, literally, dried fish, to sustain themselves. So like I brought a snack today. I got some peanut butter crackers. So should I get hungry in the middle of service here, I've got a snack. So, you know, I mean, lunch is going to be served soon as this sermon ends someday. And we'll all have lunch. But in the meantime, now see, I was able to grab a banana and I've got some peanut butter crackers. I'm good. I got my lunch. But the interesting thing is, Andrew takes from that little boy, right, the barley loaves. He goes into his little knapsack and takes that out, doesn't he? And he hands it to Jesus. How do we know that? Because it says here, Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks to God and passed them out to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate until they were full. Now gather the leftovers, Jesus told his disciples, so that nothing is wasted. There were only 5 barley loaves to start with, but 12 baskets were filled with the pieces of bread the people did not eat. What happened? What happened? The miracle of the fish and the bread, yes. Where did it start, though? The little boy. The little boy. See, think about you all as the crowd, and think of me as one of the people in the crowd, right? And somebody's saying, hey, everybody's hungry. Do you have any food? And you got your peanut butter crackers and your banana that you took from one of the other kids. And you're thinking to yourself, now, I really want to give this to God. But if I give it to God to share with all the people, what am I going to have? What am I feeling? Fear. Fear of not enough. First of all, Philip had fear of not enough money, right? And then Andrew, even though he found some food in that little boy, even though he found it there, he says, what good is it? It's of no use. It's never going to feed all these people, right? Do you understand the negative thinking there? You see how they're just thinking in physical terms of what they don't have? Think of it this way. What if all of you, underneath all your tunics this morning, had a banana and some peanut butter crackers, and all of us were hungry, but some people didn't have anything? What would happen if you gave it to Jesus? It would multiply, wouldn't it? Because the miracles happen when we give our part and don't hold on. See, there's some of us that think about, oh, I only have to keep what's mine. Because otherwise, there's no more to go around, is there? Is there? Is there? Do you trust God or not? Are there more bananas in the world? Are there more peanut butter crackers in the world? Right? Now, if you're the person holding it and you're holding on to the fear of letting go of it for lack of somebody's, you know, you're not going to have any more, what's going to happen? You're not going to have enough, and neither is everybody else either. See, the great miracle, you know, you read in the scriptures, it says Jesus told them to sit in groups. And in some of the other gospels, he said he puts them in groups of 50. And just imagine what that was like. There's 5,000 people broken into groups of 50. So that's 100 groups of 50, right? Am I mathematically right? That's a lot of people, right, in groups of 50. But what's happening in the groups of 50? Are they following what Andrew did and saying, hey, what you got in your pocket? Did you bring any food today? What do you have? Are you going to eat that? Oh, a granola bar. Thank you. What if each of us took what we had of ours that we own? I mean, this is physical, granted. But what if it was our gifts and our talents? What if those of you that haven't served in our church yet have a gift and a talent that you could bring to our church, whatever it might be, and you said, well, I don't know if it's enough, and we say it's more than enough. We could use every little bit of gift that you have and that you are. One cracker can go a long way to feed somebody, right, in a physical sense. What about one spiritual gift that you have? Goes a long way, doesn't it? Does it not multiply? Does not love multiply? If you love this person and this person loves this person, this person loves this person, does it not multiply? Do you see how multiplication happens with God, right? But if you have a fear of, well, if I give that to the church, I'm not going to have any time left in my day, right? Because some of us are busy. Time is, you can get more money, but you can't get more time. But what are you doing with your time? Or what are you doing with your money? I mean, if your giftedness is generosity, go ahead, give it to God. Watch what God can do with it. But what if those 50 people in all of those groups took out what they had and said, well, hey, I got a raisin, box of raisins here. I got some fish left over. Hey, you know what? I ate at McDonald's the other... No, you don't want that food. I got some French fries from about 2 years ago, and they're still hard as a rock, and they're just... See, to me, it all comes down to trust, though, still. Do you trust that God wants to use you? Because, see, trust is a two-way experience, I believe. We trust God, and God trusts us. He's entrusted us with gifts and talents, qualities, characteristics that are spiritual in nature that can feed others. Like, maybe you have the gift of forgiveness. Does anybody here have the gift of forgiveness? Beautiful. Okay, beautiful. So I want you to get with the who can't forgive. So those of you that can't forgive, I want you to get with the person that has the gift of forgiveness. And you see, you share that. You see what I'm saying? Do you not learn from each other? It's like, if you don't know how to do something, find the person who does and feed off of them, right? Because there's more than enough gifts to go around. We each have to use them, however. Are you understanding me? I know you are. We each have spiritual things, and I know that we think of it in a physical sense, and yes, the people were hungry. But Jesus was teaching Philip and Andrew and us a great lesson. Whatever the need is that this church sees, when we see a need, I don't care if it's physical, emotional, mental, or otherwise, we respond in faith that God will provide through the resources God has given us, God will provide the answer to solve that problem. Because God is a problem-solving God, right? And we can trust that even though we might not think we have enough finesse or bravery or whatever we think we don't have enough of, money, whatever we don't think we have, that's how we get stuck in paralyzation. By saying, if I give this up, what am I going to have? I'm not going to have anything left. It's like it's the end. Is there any end to God? Is there any end to you? No. Are the possibilities endless with you as to how you can serve God in this church? Right? And as the opportunities come our way for us to fill a need, and we sometimes say, well, where are we going to find the money for that? We better do a fundraiser. I say do a fundraiser. I'd rather have more fun than funds, you know. Because who's the source of all that we have? God is. And if we trust God, will God not provide the means? Even if it goes over to a little boy and says, give me your banana. What do you have to do? If you're the person holding the banana or the or the peanut butter crackers, what do you have to be willing to do? Give it up for the good of the whole, right? So whatever gift you're sitting on and have within you, and you're all individual and you're all diverse and we're all different as to what those gifts are. Some of you have the gift of faith. Have faith and give that gift of faith to others that maybe are lacking in faith and belief. Right? But know that there's more than enough of God's resources to go around. And we can stop fearing that we won't have enough of whatever it is that God wants us to do and be. So that the healing can happen, right? People need feeding, don't they? Especially spiritually, right? God will provide. And so, piggybacking on this, in the book of Galatians, Paul tells the Galatian church, in chapter 6, verse 2, all he says is, share each other's troubles and problems. So you see, not only are we to share our food with one another, because you guys are great cooks. We're going to just enjoy a great lunch today. Food is always awesome here, is it not? Yes. Because people provide it, don't they? They cook for us. That's their giftedness of hospitality to us, and a wonderful gift, right? And we share a meal together. But there's other gifts that we all have too, right? And sometimes some of us have problems and concerns. And so is it not easier when one or two or three of us in a group are sharing that problem or burden? Yes? I mean, if I were going to ask you to take all the chairs out of the sanctuary, I could do it myself because I'm, you know, I can be independent. Or I could be smart. And ask all of you to help, right? To share the burden. That's what sharing a burden is. The cool part about that story is not only did they take what was what perceived to be very little, I mean, a banana and some peanut butter crackers. How far is that really going to go in the natural? In God's hands, how far is it going to go in the supernatural? More than enough. With leftovers. Those people, you know, they packed their tunics at the end of the meal, right? Man, they had food to keep going on, as did the disciple. The principle taught here, spiritually speaking, is this. God will always provide. God will always provide. And God will always provide more than enough with tons left over besides. So you can let go of the fear of not having enough. Can you let go of that fear? The world wants to tell us there's not enough money, there's not enough love, there's not enough power, there's not enough this, there's not enough that. That's a bunch of bunk. There's more than enough to go around. Where does it come from? God. How does it get out to other people? Through us. Yo, we're rich and powerful people. We can do so much with God on our side, in us and through us. In the previous chapter, when Jesus healed the man and the Pharisees gave him some harassment about it, he said, I can do nothing of myself, but God within me allows me and helps me to heal. And that's who healed me and healed that man, right? So it's God in us, right? So that means we have what? More than enough, and even more than enough trust. What we need as a church from you today. Yes, we're asking you to come and fellowship with us. There's more than enough food. I will gladly share my banana with, maybe. I'm getting over that. I'm going to become selfless. And say, God, I really like this banana. It's a really good one, too. It's a Chiquita. And it's just perfectly ripe. Oh, and it's, tell it goodbye. And I could keep this banana for tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and never use that banana, right? And what's going to happen to it? Yeah, banana bread. Well, not a bad idea. See how you can spread. See, when you take a banana and make banana bread, you can feed everybody. Understanding multiplication, you got it. But think about you, the gifts and the talents that you have that are unique to you, that God wants you to use for us and this church and the people outside of these walls. You all have gifts. But if you're just holding on to it, it's not going to be much use, is it? To anyone else, and especially not to God. So this is the day we decide as a church body to trust God that whatever God has entrusted us with, there's more than enough to go around. And there's more than enough talents and gifts within each and every one of you that this church can use to flourish, to help others, to proclaim the good news, and to feed people spiritually, physically, and emotionally. We trust God for that, don't we? And the first step for us to do is to realize that sometimes we get paralyzed in fear of, how are we going to feed all these people? Through God we are, and through your giving, whatever that gift might be. Amen? Amen. Amen.